18 West Burkett.
We're giving away $2,000 in Sheridan gift cards. Ho, ho, ho. Kurt Smith here for the Sheridan Commercial Company. Today and every weekday until Monday, December 22nd, we're giving away $250 in gift cards. That's five $50 gift card winners each day. Come in and register today and every day. We are drawing winners now. Come on down. Merry Christmas from all of us at the Sheridan Commercial Company at 303 Broadway.
Bricks and mortar, sticks and stone, a house is a house until you make it a home. Sandbox, hopscotch, yardstick on the wall, backyard soccer goal, laughter down the hall. This is Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty. Don't settle for the first house that works. Let's find the one that's home. I'll put my years of experience and extensive knowledge of the local market to work for you. Buy or sell with confidence. Call me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964. And we'll start your home journey today.
Hi everyone, this is Teresa with the Chamber, reminding you to continue visiting Stroll participating businesses while wearing your Stroll button for your chance to get caught shopping. Our elves will be giving away Chamber Bucks on Saturdays through December 13th. For details, visit SheridanWyomingChamber.org. Christmas Stroll is brought to you by Fremont Toyota, Caldwell Banker, The Legacy Group, Fidelity National Title, Volunteers of America Northern Rockies and Foundation, Century 21, BHJ Realty, and Sheridan Honda and Sheridan Powersports.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Thursday, December 11th. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we are joined by the City of Sheridan Mayor, Rich Bridger, and City Administrator, Stuart McCray. Good morning, and welcome back to the show.
Morning, Floyd. Good morning.
We're coming to the end of 2025. There have been several improvements and changes over the course of the last year. We're going to dive into those really quick, and first off, before I get into anything too serious, it's been a while since I've gotten to sit down and see both of you. Mayor, how'd your Thanksgiving go?
You know, it was very nice. Spent it with family. I don't want to get too deep in the woods, but my wife passed and my daughter was in Cheyenne, but I still spent my time with my family. So
I'm sorry to hear that, yeah. Mr. Mayor. Yeah.
So it's all a transition, you know, it's a little bit different, life changes, but, you know, still goes on and you still try to look at the positives.
So, yeah. How's your daughter doing?
My daughter's great. She's the best kid I could ever have. So she's just a wonderful person, great attitude. She's very caring.
Very always involved.
Yeah, she's very involved and always worried about dad, which I appreciate, so.
You got someone checking on you.
Yeah, I'm very lucky to have her as my kid. So.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And again, I'm sorry to hear that, sir.
Oh, it's been a transition. But.
Yeah. Mr. McCray?
Good morning.
How did your Thanksgiving go?
It went pretty good. We stuck around here. We just, you know, we've got our oldest daughter and her husband and our two granddaughters are here. And so we spent that together, had a great day, and yeah, family always means a lot.
The pitter-patter of the little feet running through the house.
Yeah.
I bet that was great. My wife actually baked her first turkey this year.
How'd it go?
It was fantastic. It was fantastic. She did a great job. Believe it or not, I had some cooking experience way back in the day, and so I assisted. I was a baster, so
that's an important job.
That's a very important job. Yeah,
I still hold that job. Yeah,
it's one high distinguished position within the kitchen is to baste that turkey. All right, I did promise folks we're going to talk about some improvements. So, Mr. McCray, we'll start with you, sir. What improvements were made this year to internal finance procedures for efficiency and transparency? That's one thing that you and I've talked about since you took this position years ago now. You wanted to be as transparent as possible when it came to just about everything having to do with the city. You release a large report is that weekly, or is that actually a monthly report that you put up online for people to see?
We do a monthly update that we publish, and it's got a lot of information. People should download that, and we have it all archived. They could learn a lot about all of our operations. We, a long time ago, when we first started this about 2 years ago, we were doing it twice a month and kind of splitting it between departments, but now we've just consolidated them all into once a month and have all the departments in there. It gives updates on how our sales and use tax revenue is coming. It has updates on just operational things. But in addition to that, we have really tackled our budgeting and finance. When I came on board, our budget book was probably about a half an inch. Now it's almost 2 inches, and that's really because we put lots and lots of notes in there so that people can go in there and delve into it and find out. We are in the process. We plan to buy some software this year. Our treasurer has researched several different companies, found the best one that is going to allow us to put our budget book online. Right now, the budget book is online, but it's only searchable as a PDF. So you have to, you know, it doesn't have things to make it easier to find information and consolidate.
More specific type of information.
Yeah. So you can ask information. It'll still publish the same type of book with lots of information on it, but it will enable people to really delve down and see trends or something like this. We really value the fact that, you know, our mission statement reminds us that we are all about improving quality of life through responsible stewardship of the resources entrusted to us. That's a really a key part of what we take seriously as staff, and I dare say our council does too. And as we look at that, we want to be as transparent as possible and let people see that we are stewarding their resources as well as we can.
Yeah, yeah. And Mr. Mayor, from a governing body point of view, how is it to have all this information compiled and kind of put out there for the public? Because it's also there for the city council. You can sit there and look through everything and kind of figure out what the departments are doing. Not only that, one thing I do want to say just real quick is the championing of the departments within these reports. I really do appreciate that. These people really are in the trenches keeping this city running. But from a governing point of view, what is this like now to have this?
Oh, I think it's just good to have that transparency. You know, obviously we want to see how our money's spent. We want to see where it goes. We don't want to be frivolous with the taxpayers' monies. So this is just one tool that we use to make sure that we're staying on track. I applaud our all of our departments, really, because they take that very seriously and they try to spend that money wisely. I champion the accounting department and Stu. If you want to find out something about how we spend our money, it's available to us. We don't hide anything. We're not trying to be nefarious in any way. You know, we want our money spent wisely, and that's what we try to show the people, that we are spending their money well, and that we take that charge very seriously.
And I'll just add to that, you know, if anybody at any time has questions, I'll sit down with them. We can make an appointment. We can find time and sit down and explain to them how things work. We are not opposed to, you know, meeting with, you know, we got 19 people in the city. I'll meet with every one of them if we set an appointment, you know, and set the time aside, but we're always willing to meet with people. We want people to understand. Part of our vision statement says, we have this coded language kind of. It says, we embrace our city, in quotes. And it's a throwback to John Laux, the first mayor of Sheridan and the guy who drafted the city. When he finished drafting it and he turned to, you know, guys like Grinnell and Brooks and you know, all these different forefathers of Sheridan, he's purported to have said, this will be our city. And our council, when we developed this vision statement, really liked that because it really talks to people who take ownership of the city. Mm-hmm. And so we take that to heart, that we want you know, I think of all of our citizens as shareholders, and you know, they're all shareholders. I'm answerable to every one of them. I mean, you know, there's a lot of them, so you know, you have to kind of, we use counsel to get the consensus of them, but insofar as if a shareholder has questions, you know, that's what we're here for. And so we want to be able to have a participatory citizenry, or at least, at the very least, we want them to understand what's at stake with every option and every vote and everything that comes up. And again, we try to steward everything well so that they can see that and see that we're taking good care of their stuff.
Have you had residents come up to you and say, hey, you know, since you started putting this up, or since I can actually see the budget, I really appreciate it, or hey, I didn't know this, I just learned this myself. Any kind of comments like that on the street?
Oh, probably on an hourly basis. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. No, yeah, we've had people come up. I mean, we've got our share of critics. Every organization does. But we also have people who really recognize the difference that we've been making over the years. We put every one of our presentations up that we, you know, any presentation. We started doing that a couple years ago also. Whenever we give a presentation to council, I used to see people taking photos of them. And I was like, we can do better than this. You know, there's nothing secret about these things. Let's put them online. So we put them online so that just as they can get a monthly update from us, they can also download the presentation and have the slides themselves with the data that the council is seeing. And they can zoom in on the plats and so forth to see more data. Sometimes it's hard to read on stuff.
That's fantastic to hear. And you've seen people utilize this service.
Yes, yes.
But I think in general, if in the morning they go to work, they can see their garbage is getting emptied. They can see that their streets are getting cleaned, and they can see that the city's doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're happy with that because they have their 8 to 5, they have their kids. They just want to make sure that things are running well. And so that's what we try to do, is just run things well.
Yeah.
So yeah, people can be happy that they live in a beautiful community like Sheridan.
And speaking of community, you know, the fire department, a vital asset, it receiving its largest applicant pool in years.
You know, it's so weird. I mean, at one point we didn't have hardly any applicants for whatever reason. And then this year we had over 50 people that wanted to be a part of the fire department.
And incredible.
So, yeah. And so, you know, you whittled it down to 22 top scorers, and they go into a pool. And so basically, if you need some applicants or you need some people to fill positions, you have that pool there. And so we're going to be hiring 6 new fire people. It'll be 3 new positions, 3 people are retiring. And so it's quite a process. I mean, you have a written test, you have a physical test. It's not something that just happens. I want a job. You know,
yeah,
you
got fire is a science.
Yeah. And so that those people are willing to go out there and take the tests and do the physical stuff and all that, things that are required to get into that pool, that speaks well of them, but it also speaks well of the fire department as well.
It really does. Mr. McCrae, was there anything that was changed up? You and I both served in former positions that had a recruiting office that was extremely dedicated. Does the fire department have something similar? Is there somebody who goes out there and looks for applicants? I mean, what really brought this wave of applicants in through the door?
Boy, I wish I knew. I think it's just the vibe of the community. You know, we have when you and you know, the mayor and I go down to the fire department regularly, and not just we don't do it out of, you know, a strategy or anything. We just genuinely like these guys, and we value them and value what they do. And I think that some of that is being transmitted to the public that says this is a very valuable first responder type of thing, and I want to be part of it.
Now, can you walk us through major progress made in utilities when it comes to systems and staffing?
We made a lot of progress this year. We added another. We found that we there's so much data available that we could be taking advantage of to let people know. Again, goes to transparency. If you go on our GIS, on our website, you know, our digital map, there's so many layers on there that have everything from all the roads, all the properties, data on there, and all the pipes under the ground, at least water and sewer and everything like that. And there's a lot of stuff that we haven't been able to get to. We've had one person doing our GIS, which, you know, geospatial information systems. And we hired a second one, and they're doubling the capacity of what they can do now. We also hired somebody as what's called our SCADA engineer. SCADA stands for Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition. It's basically being able to monitor all of the systems and have advanced, you know, knowledge of what to expect so that we can get out ahead of it. And he's doing that for our water, our wastewater, our sewer, our, you know, our utility maintenance repair requirements and everything like that, and several other things. And he's really, this new position has a guy that we hired from inside the city that is just really doing advanced work to make sure that we are, again, being able to do things at lower cost because we, you know, I mean, obviously, all of those things are enterprise operations. They are a not-for-profit business that we run, water, sewer, all those things. We people are ratepayers that pay for those things. So we want to keep those rates as low as possible. And this really enables that to be fancy in there. Also, we incorporated a new system called Cartograph. Cartograph is replacing an old system that we used to have called CityWorks. And it's kind of it's there for updating and making sure that we are tracking work orders and how that they get processed. And that enables, I was talking to our utilities director yesterday, and they are using that to be able to, you know, there are a lot of historical, like water service lines that aren't on any maps anywhere. And so when our guys have to go work on something, where's that tap at? Where's that service line? Because there's a break or something. They can go into Cartograph now, and they can record that so future generations will now have that information that wasn't available. So fantastic. Lots of stuff available.
Yeah. I tell a story about some improvements that were being made in Buffalo when I was covering this in the news. And all of a sudden, one day, they just stopped. So I popped my head in there and said, what the heck happened? And they said, we found a pipe. Then nobody knows where it goes, where it comes from. It's on no map. And so they had to stop the entire operation. They lost time, which means that they lost money. And they had to find the end of this pipe, which they eventually, of course, did. Mm-hmm. And everything worked out just fine because the pipe was literally just in the ground. It neither came from nor went anywhere. But it's things like that. You know, there was time and money lost in that operation, right, because they came across that. So this system will prevent that from happening in the future.
Not only that, but with this new extra GIS person, we also track abandoned pipes in our, you know, in our GIS as a layer. So you can go in if you're wanted to dig in the ground, you know, and you come up on a pipe, you can actually see, in many cases, oh, this is an abandoned pipe. I don't need to worry about that one.
Fantastic. On that, I got to take a... Oh, Mr. Mayor.
No, go ahead.
I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our City of Sheridan right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
The team at First Federal Bank and Trust is once again partnered with Sheridan Media for our annual Christmas Wish campaign, a campaign to help people who've fallen on temporary hard times.
Our team at First Federal Bank and Trust is committed to helping individuals and families in our community who need a helping hand up. Our commitment has been and continues to be our community. In years past, the Christmas Wish program has provided gift certificates for groceries, gifts for children, and paying bills. I invite you to join the First Federal Bank and Trust team in supporting the Christmas Wish campaign.
Hey, Doug, Santa called. He needs help.
With what?
Cleaning the sleigh. He wants Detail Shop gift certificates from the Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop.
That makes sense. Reindeer aren't exactly tidy.
True, but these work for everyone. Shiny outside, spotless inside, just in time for Christmas.
Come down, pick them up, 49 Broadway.
Help Santa and the messy drivers in your life.
Give the gift of a clean vehicle.
The Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop, 409 Broadway, online at waringsheridan.com.
Mule deer are on their way to winter ranges and could be on some highways too. Pay close attention for deer when driving, especially in early morning and evening hours. If there's one deer on a highway, there's probably another nearby. Pay attention to those deer warning signs. They're there for a reason. Reducing vehicle speed is your best bet. Collision repair costs are an incentive too. Wildlife vehicle collisions can cause a lot of damage, and slowing down can save both you and the wildlife. Sponsored by the Wyoming Game and Fish, the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Are your tires ready for winter? For sure-footed traction, put your trust in a new set of tires from Midas. Save $100 on a set of four select tires on popular brands like Cooper, Toyo, BF Goodrich, and Michelin. Select shocks and struts are buy three, get one free. And Midas has you covered with lifetime coverage on tires, shocks, brakes, mufflers, and more. Low on cash? Ask how to get 6 months deferred interest with the Midas credit card, keeping you safely rolling along. Midas Tire and Auto.
The holidays are here, and the Cozy Corner Gift Shop, just inside Sheridan Memorial Hospital, has something for everyone on your nice list. When you shop at the Cozy Corner, you're not only buying a gift, you're also giving back. We donate all of the proceeds to the Sheridan Memorial Hospital Foundation to support hospital projects. From decorations to clothing, we have all of your holiday essentials. Stop by and find the perfect gift today, and Merry Christmas from all of your Cozy Corner volunteers.
Time once again for Letters to Me. Ho, ho, ho. Just go to SheridanMedia.com and click on the picture of me, and you can type in exactly what your child wants for Christmas. These letters to Santa are read every Friday till Christmas during the 7 a.m. hour on the Tommy and Bell's Coyote Morning Show, and are brought to you by Kids Curious, Jack and Kathleen Wood, the Sheridan Rec District, Buckingham Lumber, Arrow West Insurance, and Kemco Federal Credit Union. Ho, ho, ho.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with the City of Sheridan Mayor, Rich Bridger, and City Administrator, Stuart McCray. We've got a lot to talk about, folks. There's been some fantastic improvements made to city systems, transparency. If you've got any questions, City Administrator's invited all of you, anyone, give him a call, set up a meeting. He likes coffee, I do believe, don't you, sir? No.
No, I don't drink coffee, but I have coffee.
Oh, there you go. There you go. You sit down and go over just about anything that you want to go over about the city as long as some time is set aside. Now, we were talking about the fire department. Fantastic recruiting going on over there. If we could figure out what happened, bottle that up, I'm sure we'd all be millionaires. How did the SPD do this year as far as recruiting? I've got some other things to ask about that, but staffing is a consistent battle for every industry. The city's no different. And the SPD, it seems like I'm always talking about recruiting and job applications with them.
You know, actually, it's looking fairly optimistic. We always have open positions, and we've had open positions as far as police for as long as I can remember, but we're very close. I mean, we have some people in the pipeline right now, so we might be able to actually fill all our positions. And so that's pretty exciting. So I don't know what changed. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it's just the state of the nation whole that, you know, there are more people willing to step up and be police. I don't know, but I just know that we have some people in the pipeline, and it's a pretty rigorous process to become a police department person in the city of Sheridan. So it's not something that's easy. You know, you go through some testing and stuff to make sure you're stable and able, and you do some physical stuff as well to make sure you can physically do the job. So it's not an easy process, but we do have people in the pipeline, and it looks like we're going to have a few more on our force. So mm-hmm. I think it's a really good thing.
And I always appreciated the chief and the captain's recruiting process. You know,
it's not easy.
It's not easy, but they're going for quality over quantity.
Correct.
And I think that is the approach, especially with a job as important to a community as a police officer.
Right, right.
To have good police officers out there is better than to have a lot of police officers out there.
Both the police department and fire rescue both hire for character. That's an important aspect because when you hire for character, it takes a little bit longer. You have to really make sure you've got the right person. But when you have the right people on the department, and we've got such great quality people in both our police department and our fire department that, that you know, they stick to it. They go the extra mile. And we ask a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
In both departments. You know, we have one of the smaller departments for the number of people we have. And in the fire department, and they are constantly being asked to come back in, and their lives are very unpredictable in order to keep the community safe. And the same thing on the police department. Our police department has, for this last year, we've had on average about 5 vacancies for uniformed officers. And as the mayor said, we're closing that gap recently very well, and I'm really happy about that. That's going to really take a load off of the current number of police officers that they can breathe a little bit.
Get some time off.
Yeah, right? But they have carried that load. They've shouldered that load very well. I'm so proud of our police department and our fire department.
Yeah, really made a huge difference out there for the small number of individuals that are out there working. But that's also a testament to the amount of time and dedication that they really put forth.
No, they're all quality individuals, and they do a great job, and they show up every day with the citizens of Sheridan in mind, and I'm very proud of both those agencies, so I think they do a great job.
And recently, I believe it was earlier this year, they prepared for the intentional mass casualty incident, joint training. That was kind of an all-hands-on-deck day. We reported on it here. We warned people. Hey, you're going to see some activity. Don't worry.
Yeah.
This is a training activity that's happening out there. How'd that go?
I think it went very, very well. I didn't actually attend it, but it was it was a mass casualty incident that they tried to emulate. And you had the ambulance there, and you had fire and rescue there, and the sheriff's office was there, airport staff, of course, Memorial Hospital. The VA, and basically it was just like you had this mass accident and you had bodies and who you triage first and who can be triaged later and the process for doing all that. And luckily it was just a simulation, you know,
yeah. But
it helps you prepare, you know, that you have that happen, that you have people that know what to do and how to respond to it.
Sir, you know the importance of training.
So, yeah, I was going to say, Floyd, you and I were both in the Army. The mayor's daughter is currently in the Guard. You know, we train and train and train in the military in order to be prepared so that when the challenge comes, it's almost just a muscle memory. And that's exactly what these guys were doing. They go through different scenarios every year. When I was a garrison commander in the Army, we did the same thing. You know, we would have, okay, this building got blown up by, an improvised explosive device. Now what do we do? You know, how do we react? How do all the different teams come in? How do we bring the community in? We do the same thing. We work with the airport, the VA. You know, you find all your first responders and you bring them all into the issue so that when the real thing happens, it's you're not trying to do initial coordinate. Everybody kind of knows what their part is.
Mm-hmm. That way, it doesn't have to be the discussion. The saving, the life saving can start right then and there.
Right. So you've rehearsed it. You know what you're doing. You kind of know what your role is. And you just respond.
Speaking of first responders, I just heard this morning. Maybe I missed it. Public Works employees officially recognized now as first responders. Can you tell me about this?
Public Works, and I would also throw our utility maintenance people into there. You know, when bad things happen, when flooding happens, when water lines break in terrible, you know, weather, our public works and our utility maintenance folks are they're on the scene. They are there to make sure, and they're putting their lives at risk in some cases. When you have floodwaters, you know, they're down there making, you know, to adjust and make sure that it doesn't do more damage than it already is. And so, yeah, the Congress recognized public works people as first responders. So, yeah, I lump them all in together. You know, and it just shows value to everyone who goes out and selflessly serves their community, puts their lives at danger if necessary.
And I want to give a shout out to utility maintenance. Stu just mentioned it. There's times that I've, you know, I get the email, hey, we're going to fix this pipe, or this is broke and we got to go fix that. And I'm like, it's 0 degrees outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's times I've went out with them just to, you know, be part of the group. And it's like, holy cow, it's cold. They're working in this pit
and wet
water, and they're wet. And I'm like, it's just amazing. Those guys do some fantastic work.
Simultaneously, you know, you can never predict when a blizzard's coming. And when that happens, all of our, you know, public works guys, they turn into snow plowers, and
yeah,
they're out there making sure that the streets are plowed so that people can get to the hospital if they need to.
Awake and getting the job done long before I've even had my first cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And I appreciate everyone who jumps behind the wheel of a plow.
And I rode in a snow plow with those guys, and it's just like, I'm just amazed because they got this plow and they're trying to work around cars and everything else, and it's just like, oh my goodness,
what they can do with a machine.
It is.
It's incredible, amazing to see it. Let's jump down here. Grant funding secured this year for safety, parks, and fleet improvements. Grants are always vitally important to try and get things paid for here within the city. Excuse me, got a bit of a frog in my throat this morning. What do we have, Stu? Is there anything out there that you would really like to highlight for folks when it comes to funding going to our city?
I'll go back to our fire department. Our fire department has been operating on, we have two fire engines. There's a difference between a fire engine and a fire truck. I come to learn, you know, I wasn't an expert at this.
I'm learning too.
Fire engine is the ones that have the pumpers, and they are the ones that augment the fire hydrants and stuff, and take those and put them in there, and they can pump water and they carry a big reserve of water. Our two fire engines are 15 years old, which they are rode hard and put away wet.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
And so the longer you use these things, the less reliable they are. You know, when you have a fire engine that keeps having to go into maintenance and it's trying to track down old parts, it becomes really challenging. And that's why we have a backup, but the backup is just as old. So we have been in the process of replacing, you know, raising money to replace the one of the fire engines, and then we'll replace the other one. But our plan is to we raised some money, we put money aside in our budget, and then we went down to the state for a mineral royalty grants, asking for a grant for half of that, or roughly about $500,000 for it. And we were successful in getting that. And so we have an opportunity. We're hoping it works out. There is normally lately, because of probably after effects of COVID, we have had the getting a new fire apparatus takes typically about 4 years now. So you have to know in advance about 4 years. So we would have to wait till about 19 years on those fire engines and keep putting Band-Aids on them. But we have one that's come available. We don't know if we'll get it, but when after it, we're planning to apply. We have a budget revision up in a few weeks, and it'll be voted on in the new year. But that's got some money set aside to finish that off so that we can actually purchase one sooner than later.
Yeah.
If we can still get to it before anybody else. It's up for, you know, first come, first serve. So we're trying to get out there ahead of it and buy that one that's a bird in the hand, and that will be the new replacement for engine 2, which is our red one. The yellow one that you might see around town is the engine 1. That's a four-wheel drive one, and so we'll replace that one after that.
That's incredible that's a competitive thing almost.
There's a long wait time for those things. Like as Stu said, it's like if you order one, it's going to be 3 or 4 years out before you actually get it. I think the thing that I learned is when I took this position was just how costly all that stuff is.
Yeah.
I mean, a fire engine is over $1 million. If I want to get a side dump for the waste, solid waste, that's about $450,000.
Incredible.
So it's staggering. It's just like, I'm just amazed at what the cost of those things are, but you have to have those things if you're going to operate as a city. You know?
So absolutely. On that, I got to take another quick commercial break. We will have more with the city of Sheridan right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
The team at First Federal Bank and Trust is once again partnered with Sheridan Media for our annual Christmas Wish campaign, a campaign to help people who've fallen on temporary hard times.
Our team at First Federal Bank and Trust is committed to helping individuals and families in our community who need a helping hand up. Our commitment has been and continues to be our community. In years past, the Christmas Wish program has provided gift certificates for groceries, gifts for children, and paying bills. I invite you to join the First Federal Bank and Trust team in supporting the Christmas Wish campaign.
Reserve your spot on an unforgettable 11-day Denali Explorer Princess Cruise with Latitudes Travel, departing Vancouver May 16th. Visit Ketchikan, Juneau, and Skagway, and cruise through Glacier Bay National Park. Then enjoy direct-to-the-wilderness rail service to Denali National Park for a three-night stay. A small deposit holds your place, and packages start at just $1,649 per person. Call Rick or Julie at Latitudes Travel of Wyoming, 674-0656, or stop by 157 West Brundage next to Real Deals in Sheridan.
Hi, this is Jill Bates
and Colton Bates
with the Bates team at Best Real Estate.
During the month of December, we would like to pause and say thank you to our incredible clients and wonderful community. Your trust and support have made this year truly special.
As we step into the magic of Christmas, we are reminded of everything that makes this season shine. The laughter around the table, the joy of giving, the sparkle of lights, and the warmth of gathering with the ones we love.
From all of us at Best Real Estate, may your holidays be filled with good food, fun, and heartfelt celebration.
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
I'm with Candace Kindred from Teriyaki Madness, and I hear you're bringing the madness to catering.
Tommy, hi. We sure are. Our teriyaki bar feeds up to 10 humans. You pick one protein and two bases, white rice, brown rice, fried rice, or noodles, and each bar comes with our stir-fry veggies.
That sounds delicious.
And if you need more, just add another teriyaki bar or grab a couple a la carte trays. We make it crazy easy. Hey, and tell everyone you made it. We won't tell.
Bring the madness to your next event with Teriyaki Madness on Coffeen Avenue behind Scooters.
This is the Captain with Captain Clean. Have your dryer vents been cleaned recently? As a leading cause of home fires, Captain Clean recommends dryer vent cleaning every 6 months. Our specialized equipment allows us to reach every inch of your dryer vent to ensure peace of mind. Call Captain Clean today at 672-0726 and sign up for our fire protection plan, where we pre-schedule the dryer vent cleanings for you so you never forget. Call Captain Clean. Affordable choices for healthy living.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We carry a great selection of Bosch tools in stock. Whether you need to rip, cut, drill, or drive, Bosch Power Tools provide the power you need for tackling the toughest jobs. Save big on Bosch cordless power tools right now at Menards. View our entire selection of Bosch Power Tools today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for great deals happening this week.
Warm season's greetings to you all from Menards.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. And we're brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. And this morning, we're speaking with the mayor of Sheridan, Rich Bridger, and city administrator, Stu McCray. Now, I recently had the pleasure of speaking with Parks Director Steve Gage. We spoke on the new wayfinding signs. We spoke on all the work that our parks department has to get done before the snow flies and the ground freezes, and it's actually quite considerable. There's a lot of piping out there in those parks. Stu, can you tell me about some of the improvements that have been made to our park system over the course of the last year?
You know, I will say we've just been talking about, our public works folks as first responders. In many ways, our parks folks are also, you know, when we have the weather go down, they train people. They have people who have their commercial driver's licenses and they jump in there as well to do snow plowing, and they clear all of our parks and pathways so that even in the dead of winter, people can go out and see the winter wonderlands in North Park and everything like this. So that's really neat. But they also, we really had a good year at Kendrick Golf Course. We have the responsibility. We contract out the operations of it and work closely with the contractor who has that. And then, but we have the responsibility for the grooming of the course. We have two superintendents and a lot of seasonals. And it was so successful this year. I talked to Steve Gage 2 days ago, and we're not going to raise the rates for annual golf, the passes this for this next year. So just a kind of a nod to the great number of people we have coming out and how well it's been going. We've raised prices consistently the last several years to catch up. And we think that we can take this next year and take a knee on that, and just kind of a show appreciation to all the golfers that are out there, and really instill that a lot of them have come back. We had a few years right as I was coming in the door. We had a lot of years that we were bleeding golfers out of our municipal golf course because it just wasn't kept up. So we put superintendents in place and stuff. But also, speaking of golf, Steve and his team have put a 9-hole disc golf course up in Malcolm Wallop Park, and it's really well groomed. And so people who are, and it's becoming a bigger sport there, and they are constantly looking at grooming, that sort of thing. So, and then it just, you know, just the a number of, you talked about the number of lines that they have to drain. Whew. We also have, you know, we got about over 5,000 trees, and our forestry folks, they have water drip lines going to those. So they have to drain all those as well. It's a lot of lines throughout the city that these guys take care of from about the September through all of October. That's the main report I get from my parks department is, we're out there draining lines, you know,
yeah,
getting ready for wintertime. Cause it's a big job. We don't have a huge team out there.
And, you know, you've got a master arborist, Clark Van Hooser, who I've had the pleasure of speaking to a couple times in the past. Great guy, really knows his stuff. And it really brought to attention the amount of trees that this city has. And those trees require care and attention from somebody who knows what they're doing.
Right. Yeah, you'll actually see them out even now. They're out pruning because that's what they do a lot in the winter, is prune a lot of those trees. And so you see them downtown especially. That's what they're doing. They're just pruning trees, getting them ready for the spring.
Yeah. And, you know, if you wonder how many trees are in this city, Clark told me once. I can't remember right offhand, but all you got to do is drive in from the east where you can kind of see the whole city for just a moment, you know, the majority of the city. And realize the canopy that's overhead.
Right.
And it really makes you appreciate all the trees that are out there and the shade provided and the life that's provided by that. Trees make the temperature much more bearable in the summer. I can tell you that. I talked to some of your former cohorts yesterday, Mr. Mayor. I had the Sheridan Rec District in here, a bunch of great people. They've been a little bit about that pool. Can you tell me a little bit about that and how the city feels?
The pool is one of those things that's near and dear to my heart because I was a rec guy, and that was one of my jobs, was to take care of the old pool. And I don't know how many hours I spent down in the pump house fixing things at the old pool. So the new pool is just going to be remarkable. They've done just a major renovation. It's beautiful down there. The pump house, I don't even understand all the stuff that's in there.
It's changed too much.
Huh? Yeah, I was used to work with 1950s equipment, you know, so I think it's going to be well received. They'll have the grand opening. I believe it's going to be that last day of school. And so I think it'll just be an amazing attraction for the park in general. If you go by there, they've added some nice features I think everybody's going to enjoy. We have such a short summer season, so I think just the kids getting out and being down there, I think it's just going to be a great asset for the city.
And this is one of those things that the residents actually brought to your attention. They wanted the pool kind of updated, didn't they?
Yeah, you know, I spent years and years and years just trying to tell people the pool's on its last legs. You know, you got to do something or don't do anything and just let it end. And so they had a survey that went out and the people thought, you know, what's most important to you? What would you like to see done? What are you agreeable to? And resoundingly, it came back that two of the things that they liked the most was the ice cream stand, which again, I'm kind of bragging here, I ran, and then the ice and the pool.
Yeah.
Those were one and two. So people really wanted to see the pool stay. They really wanted to see it kept up. They really wanted to see it as a part of the park. And I don't know where else you can go where you can swim, go have ice cream, and then watch Buffalo.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's going to be a really busy spot.
Oh, it's going to be crazy.
This is going to be crazy this summer.
It is.
Now, when it comes to citizens and their involvement and wanting to be a part of what's going on in the city or know what's going on in the city, Stu, you've got an 8-week Citizens Academy. What is this?
So, this was an idea that came out of, I'm a member of the International City County Management Association. Every year you go to a conference, and over a course of several conferences, I've been hearing this thing about citizens' academies, and it was really intriguing me. And as we are trying to remain and become more transparent, this is the next level of transparency, is kind of letting people behind the door see how we do things. I've been in the job for over 5 years now, and I see that the main issues that come up, people complain about something, and well, it's really clear to me why we're doing things. It's not being transferred to them, and so there's some incorrect assumptions that are being made. So I want people to be able to have the opportunity. So we're going to start a 8-week Citizens Academy that's going to go through every department, we're looking at on Wednesday nights for about 3 hours. There'll be a practical exercise during that. So I think our public works are looking at people being able to drive a snowplow through a safe cone route and back it up and show just how difficult it is with that big, huge plow in front to not hit cars.
Yeah,
and all of that kind of stuff, but we're probably going to be able to open it up once a year, and starting in late summer, and have about 20 people that we will start taking applications. So this is just the kind of the initial start socializing it.
It's really just a chance for folks to see what it takes to run a city and be more involved with the city.
I think that's fantastic. You know, you may be throwing the next mayor in the seat next to you.
I like what I do.
Now they may end up looking at various parts in the departments that they've never really had a grasp on before. There's going to be time for questions and all of that, right?
Like, oh yeah, they'll have some training. They'll have some question and answer in that, and then they'll have an activity that brings it all together and really helps to understand. This is very complex. Any one of my department heads that comes up and gets to sit in my seat when I'm out of town or something like that always recognizes that it's a lot more than just their department. And every one of those departments is complex. And then you take 8 of them, and it just is. I have to rely on those department heads, and I'm fortunate we have really good ones that talk with each other and talk with me and help us to transmit the information so that the public can find out information and we can all together make Sheridan a better place to live, work, and play.
There's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, and I think that's fascinating. Someone may end up sitting in that seat, operating that plow, and then finally decide, I think I want to do this. You may get a lot more involvement from residents in the city.
Of the feedback we've gotten from other cities that have done this is this does generate a lot more interest in becoming a membership on council and running for mayor and things out of that kind of a thing.
Really bringing interest to city operations. And you never know. Folks, I would recommend this for just about anybody out there. Head on down there. You know, once the applications come out, I don't think you're going to have too many problems finding people interested.
I think this is going to be fascinating.
Mr. Mayor, City Administrator, I appreciate both of you very, very much. And thanks for coming in here and speaking with us this morning and trying to make some things clear. And happy holidays to you both, to all the city staff and all your families.
Same to you, Floyd. Thank you for having us, and I wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas.
Yeah, thanks, Floyd. Merry Christmas to everybody.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
The team at First Federal Bank and Trust is once again partnered with Sheridan Media for our annual Christmas Wish campaign, a campaign to help people who've fallen on temporary hard times.
Our team at First Federal Bank and Trust is committed to helping individuals and families in our community who need a helping hand up. Our commitment has been and continues to be our community. In years past, the Christmas Wish program has provided gift certificates for groceries, gifts for children, and paying bills. I invite you to join the First Federal Bank and Trust team in supporting the Christmas Wish campaign.
Moss Holder's annual snowflake sale has begun. Just like every year, every customer will save at least 10%, but several will receive discounts of 50, 20, and 30% off. One lucky customer will receive half off their entire purchase. It's easy to save. Once you've selected all the furniture or bedding you'd like to buy, you get to choose an ornament of your choice, and inside, a snowflake reveals how much you save. The snowflake sale runs through December 23rd and is good for in-stock and special order purchases. That's Moss Holder's annual snowflake sale, going on now. Moss Holder's, furniture is our passion.
Wyoming weather may throw everything it has at your roof, but Branded 307 is here to help you stay protected year-round. As the holidays approach, we want to thank you, our customers and neighbors, for trusting us with your homes. Your support means a lot to us, and we're proud to live and be a part of the local community. We wish you have plenty of time spent with those who matter the most this holiday season. Branded 307, branding one home at a time. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Doug, what truck survives Wyoming winters?
The Silverado, Bob. We have all the new ones. 1500, 2500, and 3500 HD. Pick the muscle you need.
Snow, mud, mountains, the Silverado just shrugs and says not a problem, huh?
Strong engines, smart tech, comfort, built to work.
And built to make me look good?
Let's not promise the impossible, Bob.
Hey, folks, come on down and find your 2026 Silverado today.
Waring Chevrolet, 107 East Alger, or go online at waringsheridan.com.
Hi everyone, this is Teresa with the Chamber, reminding you to continue visiting stroll participating businesses while wearing your stroll button for your chance to get caught shopping. Our elves will be giving away Chamber Bucks on Saturdays through December 13th. For details, visit SheridanWyomingChamber.org. Christmas Stroll is brought to you by Fremont Toyota, Caldwell Banker, The Legacy Group, Fidelity National Title, Volunteers of America Northern Rockies and Foundation, Century 21, BHJ Realty, and Sheridan Honda and Sheridan Power Sports.
Sun, fog, ice, snow blowing and drifting, weather and road conditions are constantly changing. When you want to know the latest weather patterns and possible hazards, turn to the experts here at Sheridan Media. Our staff works hard to keep you informed of travel conditions throughout the region. If you need to know, tune in to us. Sheridan Media Road and Travel Reports are brought to you in part by Peak Pest Control, Ed's Body Shop, Heartland Kubota, and J.R. Moore at 307.